Chapter 86. While about him the crowd scattered slowly and drifted to their carriages, Dirk Courtney stood alone and watched the rolls disappear in its own blown dust. Waves of reaction shivered up his legs and turned to heavy nausea in his gut. The open gravel rash on his face burned like acid spilled upon the skin. "You better go in and have Doc Fraser put something on your face." Coming from his carriage with a heavy service revolver, Dennis Peterson paused beside him. "Yes," Dirk answered dully, and Dennis walked on to where two native grooms held Sundancer. Unsteadily on three legs, but quiet now, she stood between them with her head hanging dejectedly. Dennis touched the muzzle of the revolver to her forehead, and at the shot she recoiled violently and dropped, shuddering. Her legs stiffened in one last convulsion. Then she lay still. Watching, Dirk shuddered in sympathy and then leaned forward to vent his nausea in the grass. It came up sour and scalding hot. He wiped it from his mouth with the palm of his hand. Then he began to walk, without direction, blindly, from the field toward the escarpment. Over in his mind, keeping pace with his legs like the refrain of a marching song, "He doesn't want me. He doesn't want me." And then savagely, "I hope he dies. Please let him die." "Please let him die," Anna Courtney said it softly too, so that Gary, standing below her seat in the buggy, did not hear her. He stood with his shoulders hunched and his head thrust forward in thought, hands hanging at his side, slowly folding and unfolding. Then he raised one of them and squeezed the fingers into his closed eyelids. "I'm going to him," he said. "God help me, but I'm going to him. No, I forbid it. Leave him. Let him suffer as I suffered." Slowly, bewildered, Gary shook his head. "I must. It's too long. Too much. I must. Pray God it's not too late. Let him die." Then suddenly it snapped in her head, broke under the weight of the hatred so long sustained. She rose screaming in her seat. "Die! Damn you, die!" And Gary uncovered his eyes and looked up at her in alarm. "Compose yourself, my dear." "Die! Die!" Her face was blotched with flaming spots of red, and her voice squawked as though she were being strangled. Gary scrambled up beside her and flung his arms around her protectively. "Get away from me! Don't touch me!" she screamed at him, fighting from his embrace. "Because of you I lost him. He was so big, so strong. He was mine. And because—" "Anna, Anna, please don't," he tried to soothe her raving. "Please stop it, my dear." "And you, you crawling, crippled thing, because of you." And suddenly it had to come out, like pus from a canker. "But I paid you back. I took him from you also, and now he's dead. You will never have him." She laughed, gloating, demented. "Anna, stop it." "Ah, that night. Do you remember that night? Will you or he ever forget it? I wanted him. I wanted him big like a bull on top of me. I wanted him rutting deep like it was before. I begged him. I pleaded. But because of you, because of his crippled little weakling brother, Christ, I hated him." She laughed again, a shriek of pain and hatred. "I tore my clothing. I bit into my own lips, as I had wanted him to do. And when you came, I wanted you to, but you, gah, I had forgotten you were only half a man. I wanted you to kill him. Kill him." Pale, so that the sweat on his face shone like water on white marble, Gary pulled away from her with loathing. "All this time," I thought, "he, I believed you." And he half fell from the buggy, leaning against it for a moment to steady himself. "All this time wasted." Then he launched himself and began to run, his bad leg jerking and catching under him. "You want a lift, Gary?" Dennis Peterson drew level with him and called down from the carriage. "Yes. Oh, yes." Gary caught the handrail and dragged himself up beside Dennis. "Take me to him, please, as fast as you can."